We turn back to that passage from God's word in Psalm 10, and we will be looking at verse 1 this evening. Psalm 10 and verse 1. Now, if there is an accusation, as I would put it, that is always levelled at the child of God, whenever something comes to pass in this world, some disaster, some tragedy, some major accident, whatever that may be, this is always levelled at the child of God. Sadly, a question that they don't ask at any other time. Where is your God? How often have you heard that? So where is your God now? They say in a slighting manner, in a sarcastic manner. Where is your God now? But for the child of God, for the true child of God, though at times we in our flesh are tempted to feel God is not there, we have a perfect, secure comfort of hope that our God is a very present help in time of trouble. A very present help in time of trouble. And in many ways, we experience the grace and goodness of our God and taste the wonders of his wonderful presence with us more so in time of trouble than time of ease. Because, alas, we forget so often what a friend we have above. When all is hunky-dory and going rosy, it seems, we're slow to come to our God. But God very often uses time of trouble and hardship to bring us to experience him in a greater way. And so I asked the question this evening. I ask this question. Is God distant? Is God distant? For the most part, the people of this world have not got a clue who God is. And he is distant. He is distant. He is this figure. If they believe in God at all, if they believe in God Almighty at all, he is this figure who is somewhere out there that we can't grope around to reach to. Is God distant? Is God distant? It's a question that must be asked. We see here in Psalm 10 and in verse 1, one of the great prophetic psalms here in these words. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Why do you hide in times of trouble? This is a very, very poor analogy, a very, very poor example. But if you were to be playing the game of hide and seek, just because you're hiding behind a curtain or behind a cupboard or behind the door, it does not mean that you're not there. It does not mean that you're not there. And God, for a season, at times, with his people, he hides himself, He hides himself, though he be still there at the same time, in all his grace and mercy. But firstly, we must ask this question in a general sense. Is God distant? Well, firstly, God stands afar off. He does stand afar off. He is distant. He is at a distance from men in general, because there is a serious cause of separation. There is a distance. There is a distance. There is a distance that makes God afar off from men. It is not that God Almighty in his purest sense is not very near, for God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. It is not that God is not all-knowing. He is omniscient. It is not that he is not very near to his creation, for he draws near in the sense that, as I was saying before we had the computer glitch, God tries the hearts of men. He examines the thoughts and the intents of every man, woman and child, and declares each one to be guilty, guilty as charged. That is why he is distant from man in general. He says in his words, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one." And so as we think of this terrible virus, as we think of this terrible virus and how many are tested to see if there are any who are infected, or if there are those who are not, or even if there are those who have been infected, having had it, and now are found clear of it. As we think upon this as an analogy, even far more seriously, far more seriously, the Almighty examines each heart, and the test is negative. Now, in the light of being tested for a virus or a disease, to get a negative test is good. Not so here. It's not a negative in a good way. Rather, he finds no good thing. And that is why, for all by nature, for each one, God is distant. God is far away. And each one born of a woman is afar off from the Almighty. But secondly, as we look at the Word of God again tonight, it is all man's fault. It is all man's fault. Yes, from the beginning when sin came into the world, man has sought to blame someone else. It's someone else's fault. Not so. It is all man's fault. It is your fault if you are such as are found separated from God now. At times like now, many will seek to level the blame here, there and everywhere. But as with all the judgments that God brings, and God brings all the time, they are manifold with many disasters that are coming to pass and continue to. With all the judgments that God brings upon men, this current one, which is among many, is the same. It is because of man's guilt. It is because of man's open rebellion against the Almighty. Now that is not popular. That is not fashionable. It's not fashionable in the majority of pulpits. But it's the truth. All are at a distance from the Almighty for this very reason. For this very reason, and this alone. Hear what the Word of God declares loud and clear. Especially you who know not God, will you not hear? The prophet Isaiah is caused to say these words. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The fault is not God's. The fault is not God's. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Why is God afar off? Because man wants it so. Because man has turned from God. The nature of each human heart, every inclination and bias, is to go your own way and not God's. This is called sin. Another unfashionable word. God is afar off from sinners because of the rebellion of sinners. And at this time, so many foolish preachers fail to proclaim this importance that God Almighty is absolutely, totally, holy, pure and righteous, and demands that those who come before his presence, who come and seek to come before him, must be holy, pure and righteous. He is of a purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He will not. But man is by nature unable to make himself acceptable to God. As Romans 8:7 clearly says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so man is in a helpless, hopeless state. But thirdly, though man by nature in this state of separation, of rebellion against the Almighty, and that he is in this position where the wrath of God is poured out against all ungodliness of men, we see God did not remain. God did not remain remote and distant. God is a holy God, but God is a saving God. He did not remain remote and distant, for he purposed in himself to bring chosen sinners, such as he chose in his Son, in Christ, before the world began, to save with an outstretched arm. Yes, when his people remained at odds at total odds, at total enmity, at total war and rebellion against heaven, and in total and utter rebellion against God Almighty, he drew. He drew close to fallen, sinful man in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, this Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, this Saviour who speaks here prophetically in Psalm 10 verse 1. Who speaks prophetically in this psalm here. He had to pay a price. And he speaks here of that price. He had to pay a price, an awful, an awesome, a high and costly price, in order for God's people to be brought near now, to be brought near to him, not afar off. You see, it is man who has distanced himself from God. But Christ has come to bring the elect of God near to him now, that they, in order for God, for God's people to be brought close, to be accepted with him now, that they no longer remain distant and afar off from their Creator. For upon him, who is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin, the only sacrifice for sin, slain from the foundation of the world, upon him was laid the iniquity of us all. Laid upon him were the sins of all that he came to save, his chosen ones, chosen and called in him. It is him, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who cries out, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" These are the anguished cries of the Saviour. For it is he who has known in that great wonder of the cross to be cast off from the very presence of his Father. Him who, after he had suffered the pain and anguish of being a sin-bearing propitiation, a sin-covering sacrifice, cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It is he who says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" The trouble that came upon his head, where he indeed was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was alone. And he had no helpers. He bore it himself. Alone, in his own body on the tree. Fourthly, for the ones who know the call of God's grace in the gospel, chosen and called, God is never afar off. Never. Never. As the hymn writer says, "I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." You who trust Christ shall never be forsaken of God. On the contrary, we are brought near by the blood. You who know Christ shall never know that God is afar off. God shall never forsake you because he forsook his Son in your place. This is the gospel we believe. Brought into the very presence of the Almighty are all God's elect. Brought into his presence, robed in the righteousness of his Son. Yes, at times. Yes, humanly speaking. Yes, at times. Like the psalmist in his immediate circumstance here, we may feel he is far away, but feelings, they can lead us astray. Yes, he may feel to be far away. And we're caused to ask the question, perhaps, why? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Is God hiding in times of trouble in our lives? But the reality is, he doesn't. He cannot. He will not. He may show a frowning providence. He may rebuke. He may chastise. But such as he chastises, he loves. He never will be so far off that he has cast us away from his presence. For the Saviour God gives this great promise to all who come to him. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, aren't you pleased that God has given us that promise? It doesn't depend upon how I feel. It doesn't depend upon what I think. It doesn't depend upon circumstance. It depends upon this sure and certain promise. As sure as he is God. For he is right there. Just when you think the time is most troublesome, most dark, most bleak, that is when most of all your soul can be cheered to know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. As we draw to a close, we acknowledge that the majority of man, the vast amount of people of the world, to them God remains this distant, remote figure. This figure who cannot affect a change or direct events. To most who have a kind of belief in God. Some even claiming to believe in Jesus Christ. Their God is not in absolute control. He's not in absolute and total control of all things. And therefore they have no hope. Therefore, they are filled with fear. Their God is so remote that he must sit back and watch events, everything unraveling before him. Not so our God. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Psalm 94. This God, our God, is gracious even now to all who heed his call to repent. The call to turn back to him and believe on his son, the Lord Jesus. The word of God declares, this God, on the contrary from being far away to the repentant soul, he is the opposite. He is most near. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. If God brings you low, and so humble, so to seek his forgiveness, it is because he's near. He's near unto salvation. Dear believer, every single thing is working perfectly. He is not troubled. The Lord, our Saviour God, is on his throne. And everything's working perfectly under the sovereign guiding hand of your Heavenly Father for your good. And so, if this be so, be not afar from him. For it is us who distance ourselves from him. Come near to him. Come afresh to him. Come before him. Seek his face. As Hebrews 10 tells us these words, and we close with these words. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, our Saviour, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Amen.